look at them as how can they help me, right? Because maybe I don't have these skills to be able to solve these problems. But yet if I work with these individuals, if I work with these companies, together we can create something that's probably going to make a bigger impact on the broader cybersecurity community.
You're listening to KBCast, the cybersecurity podcast for all executives. Cutting through the jargon and hype to understand the landscape where risk and technology meet. Now, here's your host, Carissa Breen.
Hey everyone, it's KB. Thank you for being an active listener on the show. And thanks to you, we've been downloaded in 63 countries. If you haven't already, please ensure that you follow and subscribe to the show for the latest updates. Now, time to get to the interview. Joining me today is David Fairman, partner at 630 Ventures and venture capital management firm. And today we're discussing building cyber startups in Australia. So David, thank you so much for joining. I have wanted to interview you for a very, very long time. So finally we got around to doing that. And I thought, what a better person to ask about building a startup. So welcome. Thanks for making time.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So as you know, before we jumped on the recording today, I was recently in the United States. And then I came back thinking so many things, but I want to understand maybe from your perspective, the difference between the landscape in Australia versus the US. And when I say landscape, I mean sort of the startup arena.
Yeah, sure. The most obvious difference is the size of the market. If I think about the size of the US addressable market, if you think about a startup, they're building a product or a solution to solve a problem. And they need to sell that into a market. Just the size of the US market being the largest economy in the world, I think is the biggest difference. And that's why we see such a thriving startup and innovative ecosystem in the US. I also think the US has an extremely entrepreneurial spirit, character. You know, capitalism is pretty much king over there. Everybody is keen to drive for their own betterment. And you know, we hear the stories of, or you hear the tale of America's the land of opportunity. I think that is instilled in the spirit of many, many Americans. And I think, you know, obviously there are parts of society that, you know, will maybe argue that they don't have the opportunities, et cetera, for that. But that is one of the fabric of the country, in the fact that, you know, we are here to create opportunities for everyone. So I think that entrepreneurial spirit, and I think the size of the market, they're the two biggest differences. Whereas if I think about Australia, you know, we have just as many, and if not better, smarter, capable founders, individuals in this country, but we have a tighter market. Our addressable market in Australia is tighter. You know, when you think about the size, the average size of, you know, medium businesses, small, medium businesses in the US compared to Australia, there's a vast difference. You know, in terms of how you class an enterprise business or a small, medium-sized business, and also the number of companies, because it's just serving a different population, right, and a different size of the economy. So I think they're probably some of the biggest challenges, or some of the biggest differences, and that's really what's driven, you know, we have a healthy startup ecosystem in the country, but it needs to grow. And I think it is limited by some of those factors that I've spoken about. But yeah, I think we're starting to see some progress there. So they, for me, are probably my biggest comparison to how I think about that.
Yeah, those are great comparisons. And I do 100% understand what you're saying wholeheartedly. Now, there's so many things in here that I want to ask. So before I just go crazy and ask you like rapid fire questions, because this is really important to me. Obviously, I'm an entrepreneur and I have been for the last 5+ years, but I deal with many entrepreneurs, and I've also dealt with a lot of people that started a business and then stopped for a myriad of factors. Some of those didn't get the support. Mm-hmm. Some of those tried to go to a venture capitalist, didn't see value because they were like, why would I invest in an Australian cybersecurity company, for example, when I've got these cool guys out of Silicon Valley, for example, or they just sort of ran out of steam. So I guess for me, this is really, really important because I want to be able to engender the right type of confidence in people as well. And I guess it is hard. And you know what? Australians are really hardworking. But I guess is this maybe the attitude sometimes towards startups or towards entrepreneurs, I think, needs to change. Now, I guess that sort of leads me to my next question. As, again, I've been in the space for a while as an entrepreneur myself, so people open up a lot more and explain how they feel because they understand that I know what they're talking about because we're in the same boat, for example. But people often talk about a lack of support from their industry peers in Australia around building a startup. Why is that the case?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting question and hard to put your finger on any one particular thing. I think there's a few things there. One, because it is a smaller market, it's an extremely competitive environment, right? So maybe there's an element of competition seen there, or why potentially peers and, you know, other entrepreneurs and early startup companies, if they're blending into the same space, maybe there's an element of just concern around competition. You know, that's probably one element of it. There's also, you know, as we've grown up culturally, you know, I'm Australian, I can't ever really think of that entrepreneurial spirit being instilled in us culturally. And I think some people go out, you know, they feel like that this is their calling and they go and do that and they take the initiative and they do it, which is fantastic. It's probably not in the core fabric of Australia to be like that, for Australians to be that like that necessarily. You're right, we're hardworking and we're actually smart. But I think there's a difference in your character and in the culture of you. And I know that's a broad sweeping statement, so I want to caveat with that. But I think there would be an element of that. And I think, you know, like I say, in the US, for the listeners, I lived in the US for 10 years. You know, I have a good understanding, and I am a US citizen, so I have a good understanding about the country and how it operates. You know, a culture of supporting your peers and supporting entrepreneurs who are starting out and giving a hand and putting the hand out and helping them. And that's encouraged, it's embraced. I think that's just less in the culture here. And I think I would say it's not done, because I do see good collaboration between some of our founders in our startup community in the cybersecurity world. But I think that it's a smaller community, so I think those situations are probably fewer and far between.
Yeah, okay. So super interesting, great observation. And yes, of course, we can't paint everyone with the same brush. It's just more so trying to reflect on why we think that's the case. So one of the things that stood out for me when I was in the US after having been back there for a number of years because of COVID and everything else was it's the embracing part. So for example, and I can speak about this because I am an entrepreneur and I really understand what people go through, right? So I was in an Uber and then the Uber driver was like, hey, like, what do you do? And then I was like, oh, like, I started telling him and he's like, oh, that is so awesome. Wow, that's super cool. Now, I can probably count on two hands a number of people, especially when I started out my journey, when I said, this is what I'm doing, the feedback that I got, like, why do you think you can do that? The snickering, the, oh, but I don't think so, you should get a real job, all of that. Now, it's different now, because I've proven myself and I've done something. But when I started out, I felt like a lot of people didn't want to know me. They were just like, oh, you think you can do that and you can think you can change the world and do all these things. And that was really hard mentally. And I think that that is what upsets me, because we do have very smart people here and very capable people. But again, going back to my point, people give up because they don't have that support. And so that was something. Then coming back to Australia after being there for almost a month, I noticed it. And just people sort of, I don't know, just the way that they can sometimes talk down to what you're doing or not value. And I just noticed a big shift that when I was there. So I guess for me, it's been very, very hard to go against the grain of, no, I don't want to just go out there and get a job. And like, I've done the corporate thing and it wasn't for me. It didn't empower me. It wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to give this a go. But I feel that if things may have been different with the support being a bit stronger in the beginning, perhaps I'd be further along. So I'm speaking so sentimentally from my core, because this is something that has bothered me as an individual and I know it bothers other people. So what are your thoughts on that, David?
We've all heard of the tall poppy syndrome, and I think there's an element of truth to that for some individuals. And again, I think it's some individuals. I think there's some great entrepreneurs and some great leaders, business executives who are very supportive people who are trying to make it on their own. I think that is out there. But I also think that there's a fair share of individuals who, you know, I don't know if it's jealousy. I don't know if I want to use the word jealousy, or because they can't relate to that fire in that belly and that hunger to drive and do something different and to innovate. Maybe it's just the fact that they can't relate to that, that they're potentially dismissive or suspect of that. Maybe that's what it is. And I think, again, that comes back to maybe some of the culture around, you know, recognizing that it's okay to get out there and give it a go, try hard, and if you fail, that's okay. You're going to learn something from that failure. And I think there's a lot of people out there who maybe don't embrace that attitude and are scared of failure, and therefore, because they don't want to go and do that, they're dismissive or they shy away from it. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, I do hear what you're saying. And I think there was a saying, and it's like, if people don't understand something, they just sort of just dismiss it. And I can see that. Mm. So I think now, and I literally had this conversation with someone last week, I said, I'm cognizant of when I'm talking to someone, especially when you're talking about building a company and entrepreneurial stuff, I said, I'm mindful about what I say to certain people. If they ask me, it's a bit different, but I don't lead with it, especially like if you're at like a barbecue on the weekend and mm-hmm. I don't sort of open up and start guns blazing and talking about it. Like someone asks me, I'll tell them, but usually I just fob it off because it invites, you know, move into this territory of more interrogation or people being like I said, suspect or skeptical. And I don't really want to be in that position. So I guess that's a great way of thinking about it.
You know, it's disappointing to see that sometimes. I think, you know, we all have our own skills and our own capabilities. And I think what the world needs more of is, you know, community support, frankly, right? Like there's a lot of work to be done in this world and across the community, whether it's in the cyber startup space or in any field. I think if we had a greater community, what are we doing to better the community? What are we doing to better, you know, help enhance each other as, you know, I don't want to say brother and sister because that sounds really corny, but you know, what are we doing to really just help each other on the journey? Life's tough enough as it is, right? Let's face it. You know, if you have the opportunity of being able to help someone and give them some advice and support them and get involved, then we probably should embrace that a little bit more, I think. I know I try to do that. I work very hard at trying to give time to people who are thinking something new and giving them my perspective on things. Not that I know everything, or definitely don't know that, but I think, you know, we can all learn from each other's experiences. I think if we just understand that, we recognize that we can all help each other better and raise that common denominator, I just think that's a really good thing to do. So maybe if that's, you know, a message that your audience can take away today, I think that would be a great takeaway.
Yeah, that's excellent. How do you think we can start being better as a community? Like, do you have any examples? Because one of the things when people are talking about Australian businesses in tech, it's just always about Atlassian and that's it. Like, that's all we have. But there are so many great startups out there, and I want to be able to help support and drive people as much as I can, because it is it's hard going. Like you said, life's hard enough as it is, and you add this complexity to it, it's hard going. And I do believe you need to be a very driven individual to do it successfully. What do you think we can start doing in terms of generating that camaraderie that is lacking in our space, in the tech startup community in Australia? Because, you know, what often happens is we lose our talent to the United States, and then they gain that talent. And then, you know, there are conversations in the government, yes, the sovereign capability, which I want to ask you about in a moment, but they're saying, like, let's build a tech hub here in Australia. So, and I get that, and yes, we should be doing that, but I think there's a long way to go. So do you have any ideas?
Yeah, look, I definitely have opinions on that. And I'm going to start with the caveat that I'm talking specifically across the cyber startup ecosystem, because, you know, it might not apply across other sort of tech startup verticals. I think on the cyber side of things, right, and I experienced this coming back to Australia. You know, I had held very large roles in large financial services firms overseas, came back, and, you know, I was at National Australia Bank as chief security officer there. And what I found is, you know, these startups that I would be meeting here in the country, you know, they were struggling to really guess, find customers, right? So whether it was large ASX listed organizations and large enterprises or even small, medium sized enterprises, I think there was they were really struggling to get, you know, that customer base that in the US, I think, although, you know, organizations, particularly large enterprises, do their own due diligence and make sure that they're, you know, doing business with an organization that is sustainable, et cetera, and is the right part. There's also that piece around wanting to be a design partner and wanting to embrace this innovation and help be part of that journey of a company that's trying to go out and solve something that actually is a problem that I have, and I want to help them build something that will help me my everyday. And I'm going to embrace that. I recognize they're not going to have the right answer. And I recognize I'm going to provide insight and advice to that. I'm going to help them shape their product. What I found here is I think it's different when I speak to entrepreneurs and founders is, and I've seen it in some of the conversations I've had with security professionals where they're very quick to dismiss or find fault with a product or a service as opposed to, you know, find a reason why it doesn't work versus saying, hey, I like the way you're attacking this. I like the way you're approaching this. It's not quite right. These are the things we need to do and how do we get this together? Because actually, you know what? If you can solve this problem, build this product and this solution, you've got to actually solve my problem here. Think about these companies as like this extended application development capability for your own organization. Don't think of them as a third-party vendor. Think of them as an extension of your development capability for your organization. So I think there's a little bit of a mindset shift there required. And of course, yes, they're a third party, and yes, they're a vendor, and yes, you need to pay for a service, right? You know, nothing comes for free. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just you know, running a business. But I think the key thing is don't look at them as the enemy. Look at them as how can they help me, right? Because maybe I don't have these skills in the house myself to be able to solve these problems. But yet, if I work with these individuals, if I work with these companies, together we can create something that not only helps me and my problem, but it's probably going to make a bigger impact on the broader cybersecurity community, because I'm sure my peers and other organizations are trying to solve some of these similar problems as well. And that's how I've always looked at it. I've in my entire career, always worked with early stage companies. Some of the largest cybersecurity companies you can think of now, I was very much an early adopter of many, many, many years ago and helped them shape their product. And I looked at it from those two angles. One, they're helping me solve a problem I need to solve. I know they don't have all the answers, but that's okay. They don't necessarily, they have the technical expertise, but they don't understand the business problem I need to solve. So let's bring that together because that's a match made in heaven. And also actually if I help that, if we're successful there, I'm giving back to that cybersecurity community. I'm helping, you know, hopefully get something that impacts that more broadly for my peers that they can leverage. And I think there's just that mindset shift. And I think if you know, industry, enterprises, the startup ecosystem, if they could think about it that way, they can come together to think about it that way, we could really do a lot more good in supporting some of the many, many smart, capable founders that we have in this country who are solving really complex problems. You know, and I think all that's going to do is create a stronger cybersecurity ecosystem in the country. It's going to create jobs. It's going to drive positive impact to the economy. It's going to uplift the lowest common denominator, you know, in the cybersecurity world. And there was an interesting conversation head at the United Nations only a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about the cyber poverty line and how do we all come together as a community to raise the cyber poverty line. And I thought that was a really interesting way of putting it. And I think this is a way that we in Australia could all play a role in doing that. But it requires support from industry, from companies to support startups. And it requires, and then, so I've probably belabored the point around the customer enterprise startup point. Let's talk about the investor side of things. Right. So there's sort of three angles here. I'm very fortunate in my career in the fact I've sort of had a hat in all those three elements, working very closely with startups, running security functions for enterprises, and now I find myself in the investor space in venture capital fund that invests in the space. You know, and the venture capital funding or private equity market, you know, these are the organizations that really fuel the innovation. They're the ones who are investing the funds into these startups that are and these early stage companies and these scale up companies. There's a piece around, I heard you mention the question, like, well, why would I invest in this company that's trying to build something in Australia? It's a fair question, right? It's a fair question because as an investor, you want to maximize your return. You know, as a venture capital fund, we have limited partners, investors that we are held accountable to. They're looking for specific returns. Now, coming back to the point where we started, some of the differences between Australia and the US, well, much bigger addressable market, much bigger opportunity out there. Or maybe that increases the chances of success, right? So I think there's a way that we can, if we go back to what I was saying about bringing business and customers closer to startups and supporting them, and we can really change the perspective on how much support Australian sovereign capability will receive from the Australian community, that'll start to change to some degree, you know, the thinking in the investor community as well. Yeah, so that's sort of how I think about it. I think they're some of the things we can think about as to how we build out a better capability here.
So would you say, David, that bringing all these people together, like you mentioned, the enterprises, the startups, the ecosystem together, would you say that we're heading down that path at the moment, or we're not quite on that path yet?
Really good question. Really good question. Look, from my experience and my limited experience in the Australian Australian cyber startup ecosystem, I'd say we're not quite there yet. I've met many, many really good cybersecurity companies here in the country. Their market traction, customer acquisition, you know, probably hasn't, you know, they're still pushing through that. I think it's probably, you know, at a slower rate than what I've seen, you know, across the globe in other jurisdictions. The venture capital fund that I work for, you know, we're a global company. We have presence in the US and in Asia and in Europe. And I think, you know, anybody who's listening to this who are some of those startups that I talk to very, very regularly, hopefully, you know, I'm not saying anything that you disagree with, but my heart goes out to some of them in terms of really great companies who are, you know, in their second year, 18 months down the track, still struggling to get a solid customer base together, you know, and really prove that market traction. Now, there's a debate to be said, well, if it's taking that long, do you really have product market fit? But again, that comes back to getting product market fit. You sort of need support of customers to give feedback and help shape what you need to get, right? So there's that. A lot of this stuff is very intertwined and interrelated.
Totally hear what you're saying. And I think, look, the way I see it, and for someone who markets cybersecurity companies and, you know, on the media side is, you know, a little bit different, but takes time, right? Like from someone who's worked on a client side in a bank to then going into consulting to then going as an entrepreneur, the further you sort of get away from that client and the less people want to have to do with, like, want anything to do with you until you sort of prove yourself. But proving yourself takes time. And I keep saying to people, oh, like I started a podcast and I gave it up because like three people listened to it. Yeah, you got to keep doing it. You got to keep showing up. You got to have that resiliency. And it's something that I just think that there's no silver bullet. Like it's going to take time. Like you started a new company, cool. Doesn't mean that people are going to trust you to part with their money and their rep if they're working at a bank because they're like, oh, okay, I knew the guy that I used to work with 5 years ago. He's a good guy, but I'm now responsible for this budget. And if something goes wrong, it's my head on the chopping block. So you've got to look at all the elements. So company may be good, but you've got to take time to build that brand reputation up. And that's something that does take 100%. And it takes longer here in Australia because, like you said, it's a smaller market and people talk here. So it's harder. So to really penetrate this market in Australia is harder. But then once you've got the traction, you are really like know that you can, you're onto a winner then, and you know that you can scale it into other places like the United States, for example, because you're a bit more bulletproof here, because it does take the time to get the traction, get that strong customer base.
Yeah, I think you hit on a really good point there, is that people talk, right? So, but Yeah, that can go two ways. People talk it from a negative perspective, and that might stifle growth. But once you, you know, once you see some success and you strike the right chord, again, people are talking, and that can really accelerate things for you, right? So, you know, there's two sides of that coin there. Yeah, so I think that's a really good point.
Let's talk about sovereign capabilities. Now, as you know, government's pushing for this, and it would be great for Australia because it means that we're reinvesting back into our own backyard with our own startups and our own companies. So what's your sort of view on this, like just at a high level?
Sovereign capability is an interesting one. I think we've seen, you know, some of that impact or lack of sovereign capability through, you know, the COVID years of the past couple of years, where we just didn't have the capability ourselves to, you know, supply chain resiliency and those sorts of elements. And then you can extrapolate that out to the cybersecurity industry as well. You know, I think it's a fair statement to say that future wars, and that's basically what's happening now, are going to be fought in cyberspace. Now, can Australia rely on foreign capability, foreign tools and services to be part of that defense ecosystem? Or do they need to have some element of sovereign capability for those most critical parts? And I think, you know, the geopolitical stability that we're seeing, geopolitical strains that we're seeing, is there's definitely a conversation around how much of our cybersecurity sovereign capability, and you can define that in so many different ways. Can we defend ourselves? Or can the government defend its government networks and individuals? Can, you know, do we have the right products and services that are developed here in Australia that cannot, that we have high confidence over the development process and build process, you know, versus being done in a foreign country which might have adversarial, you know, motives? So I think there's definitely a big conversation around that. And I think we're starting to see that, right? We've seen government make statements around building out sovereign capability. I think that's a really, really good thing. I think that's a really, really good thing for what we've just been talking about in terms of helping promote and build this startup ecosystem and help push that agenda forward. I know some of the founders I've been talking to are excited about this. You know, this is tailwind for them, which is fantastic. In terms of some of the differences, the support that is given to early stage companies, not just from the private sector and PE and the VC markets, but also through government research and you know, government grants. Yes, we do that here. I would be negligent of me not to recognize that the scale at which it is done, you know, in the US is, and in the UK is.
Yeah, that's super interesting. So one quick question on the sovereign capability side of things. So do you think because the government is sort of encouraging this, that we will start to propel more in that direction of building a stronger ecosystem here, perhaps people being a little bit more open to seeing all cybersecurity startups that are born and bred here in Australia? They're Australian made, as we used to see that green badge back, like, what, 20 years ago or something. So do you think that this is the catalyst then to embarking on the journey that you and I have been talking about around going down that path that we need to get to in order to have more of a stronger sort of Australian alliance on the sovereign capability, but then also it's going to develop a stronger base for the technology ecosystem here?
Yeah, look, I think timing is just about perfect for that process to start, right? I think we've seen the advent of a number of major data breaches in the country over the past few months, which has shone a light on cyber risk and privacy risk for residents and citizens in the country. That's heightened businesses' awareness of the need to invest in cybersecurity controls and capability. So I think that's great. And obviously, the government's come out and made some very definitive statements, which, you know, is extremely encouraging. And I'm hopeful to see the outcome of how this evolves with the review of the cybersecurity strategy and understanding and looking to see how they're going to further build that out and build our own defences. You know, we've seen the statement around, you know, building out additional offensive capabilities within ASD and ACSC. And, you know, all these different elements are coming together to drive a need for us to uplift the overall cybersecurity posture of the country. So I'm very hopeful of what the future has to hold. I think there's great, and some of the founders I've met here in the country are really smart, intelligent, capable people. I'm hopeful for where we get to in the next couple of years. You know, we're talking to a number of early stage companies here. If you're listening, hello. I hope some of the stuff that I've said today resonates with you, and continue to look forward to working with you and talking to you on your journey and see how we take this forward. It's not just for the individual companies themselves, but for me, there's a much bigger agenda here, which is around, you know, what impact can we make on the cybersecurity, national security agenda for the country. I think that's that's a really good vision and mission that we should live by.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm totally on board with that. Now, there's a couple of things as well that I want to get your opinion on, especially because you are a VC, venture capitalist. Would you say, now, we've answered this before, but I kind of want to recap on it because I'm just a curious human being. So would you say, though, David, that we're sort of doing Australia a disservice because, as I sort of alluded to before, we, you know, what typically happens, which what I've seen, that startups move over to the US because they're like, oh, there's a bigger market here, or I got more accepted in the US, or they quit, or they just purely ran out of money because they didn't get the market traction like you sort of mentioned before. What are your thoughts? Are we sort of shooting ourselves in the foot a little bit here? Because, of course, we want to drive innovation and startups and the ecosystem. But then they stop delivering their services or creating their business because of the reasons I just mentioned.
At the end of the day, you need to be able to build a sustainable business, right? It's a really difficult topic to navigate, you know, because like I say, I see it from a few different angles because I'm involved and have been involved. There is a point where enterprises, industry, and, you know, early stage companies can work together better and help drive, you know, and give a leg up to these early stage companies, absolutely. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you also need to be able to build a sustainable business in the market in which you are operating. So, you know, to your point around them giving up and moving overseas, maybe it comes back to that bigger opportunity out there, but there's so many different variables that maybe drive some of those decisions. I also do think that, you know, there is discipline required to build a sustainable business. You know, some organizations are really good at that and some are not so much. So, you know, are we doing ourselves a disservice? Which is probably the point of your question. Look, I don't think we're helping ourselves by not supporting these early stage companies. I think there is more that we can do as a community. I think there is more that Australian businesses can do to help these aspiring companies, absolutely. I think there is more that the government can do. And I look forward to seeing how that unfolds over time. Are we doing a disservice? Look, anytime we see talent and brain power, you know, be exported and not stay in the country, you know, it's not a great story. So, you know, it's not where we want to be. So would I call it a disservice? It's definitely not positive.
Most definitely. And yeah, now I'm curious to be like, I mean, there's a fair few people that I've interviewed, they're like, oh, like, yeah, then we moved our company to the US and then we really made it big. So I'm curious now to know how many of those people are out there, probably a lot more than I'm thinking about. But what about moving forward? So what do you sort of hypothesize? So what do you think is likely to happen based on, I don't know, some data points with the hats that you've worn with, like you said, you've lived in the United States for 10 years, you come back to Australia, like you've got a very 360 view of the landscape of this space. But then what would you love to see happen, which, you know, which may be like a nice to have? What are your thoughts?
Okay, before I delve into that, I want to talk about your point about, you know, the statement you made. I've talked to organizations and they've said, look, then we moved the state and then we really made it big. At the end of the day, you know, I think that's a great, smart business decision. And again, that comes back to the nature of mm-hmm. doing business. Much bigger market, much bigger opportunity. I think that you're always, there's only so much opportunity in Australia. Not that we're small, we're still, you know, it's still a good size addressable market in cybersecurity, but, you know, we are dwarfed by the US economy and the US market. So, you know, that's probably just a symptom of the reality Absolutely. Of the economics. Now, coming back to your point around what's my wish list or what's my, you know, picture perfect look like? Because I think it's a real collaboration between early stage startups, medium and enterprise business embracing innovation and recognizing that they can be part of the solution to help drive these companies together. I think there's a piece around government coming together with policies and opportunity to either help invest or fund certain initiatives that could be collaborations between some of these early stage startups and the larger enterprises. Are there tax benefits? We know there's R&D research grants here. That's great. What more can we do around creating financial incentives to really bring this together, not just for an early stage startup in the work that they do building that product, but what incentives can we do to really drive enterprises and medium-sized businesses specifically to want to collaborate more with early stage startups? I think that would be nice to have. I think there's also a piece around, you know, investment in these early stage startups as well, you know, and how is the government thinking? And I know the government does have both state and federal government do have funding elements that they invest or, you know, funds or investment capabilities, investment vehicles for that. But I'd like to see that probably grow significantly as well.
Yeah, that's excellent. And yes, wish list was the word I was looking for. So thank you. That was what I was trying to communicate. Thanks for thanks for being honest in your approach and your thoughts, because again, it's something that I know that not everyone is painted the same way. I don't want to paint on the same brush or, you know, whatever way you want to look at it. But I think it's important to have these discussions. It's important to know that the way people are feeling, like, you're not alone. Like, we've been through it. We understand that you're at the coalface of working with these startups and hearing what they're going through and some of the frustrations that they have, like the market traction and market fit and everything like that. So in terms of any final comments or final thoughts, is there anything you'd like to leave our audience with today, David?
No, I've really enjoyed my career as a practitioner. I really enjoy it. And one of the things the elements I reflect back on that I've enjoyed the most of is helping solve some of these problems and helping and meeting smart, capable entrepreneurs, meeting great technical teams, sitting down side by side with them to help them develop capabilities that solved my problem, and recognize that by doing that, I was making a broader impact to the cybersecurity industry. And so if there's anything I want to leave you with, think about it that way. Don't think about it as, hey, I'm going to go talk to some startup or some vendor who wants to sell me something. Yes, of course they do. There's nothing wrong with that. But recognize that actually, if you help them, you can be helping make a bigger impact, not just for your organization, but for the industry as a whole. And I think that's pretty special.
Yeah, that is special. So I think we just need more Davids in our world. So thank you so much for your time and your insights. And I think this was an excellent discussion, and it's one that I have been wanting to do for a very, very long time. So yeah, thanks for coming on the show today, David.
Hey, it's been really good to be here. Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope that you found today's episode useful and you took away a few key points. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to get our latest episodes.
This podcast is brought to you by Mercsec, the specialists in security, search, and recruitment solutions. Visit mercsec.com to connect today.
If you'd like to find out how KBI can help grow your cyber business, then please head over to kbi.digital.
This podcast was brought to you by KBI.media, the voice of cyber.